I've always known that from about the age of eight, the wonderful man raising me wasn't my biological father. As time went on, his identity was never revealed to me. Lots of things were, but my mother was terrified of me finding out who my father was. She was a very strong woman, but she would cower. She was terrified to let me find out. So life went on. She passed away and took his identity with her. I did an ancestry DNA test. I'm a genealogist. And from there, I just thought I would find out my authenticity. When it came back is when I realised I would match other people. And from there, besides realising that someone would be looking for me, I got someone to look at my DNA and led me to the Kelly family in Australia. And I said to my aunt, I said, I know I'm a Kelly. Next thing she started screaming and going, oh my God, I have to tell you something. She said, your father is Joseph Kelly. He's a Catholic priest. I was absolutely shocked. So from there, I mean, having that split second knowing who my father was and then realising he'd passed away and was a lot older than my mother, I realised that, you know, I had to do something about this. I'd been hidden. My mother had to keep me hidden. Lots of things I found out over time. I got hospital records, false names, police involvement. It just went on and on and on. So I approached the Catholic Church for acknowledgement. They acknowledged that that Joseph Kelly is my biological father. They would say, yes, we believe you, but... And it was the buts that were the issue. They wanted DNA evidence, and that's a fair call. So I presented DNA evidence. Then I presented... they dismissed that and told me I need to exhume him. That would be the only way. And I found that quite horrendous to think that someone would want you to do that. So I found a company called Parabond in America, and they do the new type of autosomal DNA testing. And I was the first person in Australia to use it for paternity. And I presented that to the Catholic Church, and I was 99.6% related to the Kelly and Ferguson family. I was told that it was close, but it wasn't close enough. So I then proceeded to send the report, the DNA, the affidavits from the people who did know who my father was, into the Register of Birth, Deaths and Marriages in New South Wales. And I was the first person to use this type of DNA testing to legally become his daughter. I presented that to the Catholic Church and they dismissed it. They never even acknowledged it and wrote back and said, the DNA is close, but not close enough. But if you would like to see your father's file... So this is the part I couldn't understand, was they say he's my father, but they wouldn't officially acknowledge it. Yeah. In April this year, the Archbishop wrote a letter. He did formally apologise to me. And I think he's got a better understanding, but I don't want anyone to go through what I went through. So this understanding that of how people feel wanting to just know who they are set me on the path of helping others with their DNA. So I've been doing cases all around Australia and Ireland and America, England, helping people find who their parents were, adoptions or unknown father. Many of them are adopted, many of them are in workhouses, unfortunately, or orphanages, including Catholic children that were sent to Australia. I've been doing the DNA to find their fathers. It's very difficult. The church won't acknowledge any of it, but we need to have voices out there supporting this.
Do you still hope that the church will acknowledge your particular case and the many others that you've helped investigate?
They have acknowledged it in one way, but they won't commit. Like, they don't look at us as victims. The church in general needs to acknowledge all the children of the clergy around the world, and there is thousands of us. They just need to stand up and say, we are sorry, how can we help you? That's all anyone ever wanted. But they don't, unfortunately. I had to push them to the limit. I did. I finally have got there. But I still want something to be put into place. So I'm still working on different projects to make this easier for people, whether they be adoptee, a child of a priest or whoever, that they have somewhere to go, somewhere to get help, because there was no help. And when I found out who my father was, the first person I contacted was a support group, and they said, we can't help you because I've got Kellys in my family. Does that mean my father's a priest? And I said, that's not how it works. And he didn't believe me. And I remember thinking back, if I had been in a bad space mentally before that, I would have been jumping off a bridge. It was so traumatic to find that no one believed you. And that's the hard part. But times are changing, and the church in particular need to look at why they got these records hidden, false documents with all the adoptions and orphanage records that they have here, especially in Ireland and Australia. My own are the same. They need to acknowledge it all, be open and help.
The first person in Ireland that you helped is the now mayor of the Sligo Borough, Councillor Gino Boylan, and he's with us here today too. Talk us through how that happened.
I had come to Ireland on a holiday, and I also met other children of priests, and I was put in touch with Gino, and we were meant to meet, and he never showed up, and that's okay. But there was just something in the way he wrote to me. I knew he was really, really frustrated, and I know that feeling. It's very frustrating. So I gave it a couple of days, and there was just something about him, and I just wrote back and looked and said, when I get back to Australia, let's have a chat. We might be able to help you. And thankfully he did, and it took a lot of hard work and a lot of digging around in records and people, but we got there and we finally found his late father's parents, which was really nice to see the family have that weight lifted off their shoulders, because Gino's father, even though I never met him, I knew all he wanted to do was find out who his father was, and so did Gino, so did the rest of the family, and that's important. That's why I keep at it and at it. Even if it takes a couple of years, I've had a case like that. Just hang in there and we get there. It's worth doing.
And Gino, you dedicated, like in the aftermath, I understand, of your father's death to find out who his family and his roots, where they were.
Yeah, I think it's one of these things that everybody deserves to know. For us, it was the main thing, kind of for medical reasons. And I suppose to finish off, when my father passed away, the best thing you could do to remember him was to find out where he came from and if you had any other family out there, because unfortunately the records in the Nazareth at the time were sparse, and in fairness they did give us what they had, but we sure would have believed that there would have been more, because you just don't take a child into the street. There has to be some sort of records of him coming in, medical records to be going with him, or a birth cert or a baptism form, but there was none of that. We were probably about 3 years looking in between, and then Linda and Dawn came around at the time, and I suppose it was just hard work from the girls, and I suppose the DNA was the big thing, because I never thought, and I had mentioned it to my father before while he was alive about DNA, and he just said, sure, there'd be nobody around, but unfortunately for him that's not the case, and it's a pity he's not around to see it, because he has a full sister, Catherine, who we've met multiple times. I'm up and down to Carrickmacross and she's up and down. There's two half-sisters who I've met, one in person, and I've been in contact with one over social media, and that one is kind of funny, because she used to work in the Nazareth when my dad worked there. She was on work experience. She lived in Ardnavay and she drank in Mooney's and went to the IT. Like, you know, that's where my father worked, where he grew up, and then where he lives now beside the IT. I think the records for us was the main thing, because we were given information about a different family when we went searching, and you go through a lot of, I suppose, mental trauma to see the person you think is your... And in fairness, the man that we had thought was my father's father. If you read the obituary, it was like reading my dad's one. But DNA ruled that out, and then you have to restart from the ground up again. And I suppose I'd say, no, my brother was excellent, because at the time I wasn't driving. We had to go up and down to Cavan for about 2 years straight, weekly. And then we started to get matches through my heritage. And thankfully, Dawn knew how to, with Linda, how to be a geneticist and trace back the right amount of DNA and sent to Morgan's for... They got us the match. They got us who my dad's parents were. Unfortunately, his dad had passed away in 2001, but his mother was still alive. And we got to meet her in 2019 for a good few months. And I asked as much as I could, because you didn't think you'd get to meet her again. But after the first meeting, she was fairly open to meeting again. But at the end of the year, COVID came in, and then there wasn't much meeting. Now, in fairness to her, she was very good online for her age. She was late 80s at this stage, but she started getting dementia, and then by the time it came back around that she could visit in late 2022 into 2023, there wasn't much she could remember. And then, unfortunately, she fell in New Year's Day 2023 and didn't leave the hospital, but passed away peacefully, I might add, in March But I was lucky enough, the fact that I got to meet her, most of my family got to meet her, and ultimately it was myself, my brother, that put her into the ground, which we would never have thought when we started searching, because everybody that we looked for was dead, unfortunately. But we got some closure, and that was thanks to Linda. And there is a time difference between Australia and Ireland or Sligo in general, and I was ringing her at all hours because I didn't understand DNA. But she hasn't only been helpful to me, she's been helpful to multiple people in the Nazareth, but also outside the Nazareth, other family members that have done DNA and friends who she ended up getting closure for, finding out who their relatives were, because at the end of the day, I believe everybody has the right to find out who they are and where they come from.
How did that affect your father, Gino, not knowing who he was effectively?
Definitely frustrated him because we have a letter from his godmother who wrote away looking for the priest that organised his entry into the Nazareth, who seems to be elusive. And in the letter, there was definitely pain, hurt, anger and frustration in him as a young boy, because in the letter it states that when people were looking for their family members and they might come around, he said that never happened to me, or it wouldn't happen to me, because I wasn't lucky enough. You know, and at that age, when you're 13 or 14 and having to think that through your life, that you're alone, it's definitely tough. And I suppose the more we got into it, like, he's an extremely large family, and it's just, for us, a pity that we didn't do DNA quicker. It's always that in the back of your head that if we had thought things quicker, because you never think my father was my idol, like, you know, as is everybody else's dad, but you don't think they're going to pass away so quick. And I suppose if we had got it for him then, to know he had a full sister, Catherine is amazing, and she always says, I wish I had met him, I always wanted a brother, because she ended up being adopted as well. You know, and it's just one of those things, bittersweet maybe, we got an answer at the end, not the answer that we're looking for, there's always other information out there. Again, we're looking to see what part of England he was born in, where his birth cert is, his right date of birth, and his real name was James Boyle. Shane O'Boyle was the Irish, and that's what they gave him in the Nazareth. So technically, I'm Boyle, not O'Boyle. But it's just, I suppose for us, especially my mother tried hard in the late 70s and 80s, writing away looking for information, again, based off letters that we had received, but to no avail. But I have to give credit to Linda. She was amazing to get the answers we were looking for, and without her, we wouldn't have been where we are now.
And Linda, the O'Boyle family, it's just one of sadly, a large number of cases, not just in Ireland, but Australia and many other countries. How many families would you say are people that you're currently helping at the moment?
At this stage, I've done 35 cases that have finished. I'm working on three at the moment. Two of them are here in Ireland. I'm actually going to be doing some research next week, because once again, we don't have any birth certificates. The mother is different to what they thought the mother would be. It's not matching the child's records, and here I go again. So I'll be going through the archives. I've just met some people here in Dublin. They're all related to each other. And ironically, I turned out to be related to one of them as well, so which was a bit of a twist. It always happens. But they've all got to find their fathers. One was adopted, a lady in America, and within the last 6 months we've been able to give her her siblings on her father and mother's side, and she'll be out later to meet them all. So that's what I do, and I just keep doing it, and it just keeps going on and on. You find someone, I don't know who my father is, I know someone can help you. So it's great, though. It's really, really good. It's rewarding.